Clark, what a blessing, amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, this morning, and go to the book of John with me. The book of John. I'll be able to preach a Mother's Day message today, and I want to say again thank you to every one of you mothers. So many presidents have said so much about their mothers. I wrote a few of the quotes down, and one was in our bulletin this morning. For the tape room, the title of the message today will be The Master and His Mother. The Master and His Mother. We'll be in John chapter 2 when we begin reading, but I want to read a few of these quotes and then we'll pray before we begin reading in John chapter 2. Abraham Lincoln said, "All that I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." I thought this was funny, not necessarily loved the president that he was, but Lyndon B. Johnson used this term. He said, "This is a moment that I deeply wish my parents could have lived to share with me. My father would have enjoyed what you've said so generously of me, and my mother would have believed it." Amen. Ronald Reagan said this, "From my mother I learned the value of prayer, how to have dreams and believe I could make them come true." I do believe that each one of us have a mom that we can look back and see. And again, I'm thankful that my mother is still with us today, and what a blessing she's been in my life. My mom was someone, a lady of faith, and someone who took me to church and made sure that I knew the values of right and wrong. I think we live in a day and age where motherhood itself, we've gone to a place as America leaves its Christian values, motherhood has been devalued because mothers, not the ones in the room today, but just in general, the focus, it used to be in an old school mentality of mothers were to focus and give themselves for their child. There was and even the word motherhood indicated a sacrificial life given to invest into the child. But now we live in a day and age where, again, it's more about the world itself has focused in inward women's rights. The idea of, that the woman's body is more important than the child. And we go through the list of things that we could say that the world has gone crazy on. But it really has devalued motherhood. It's devalued the home. It's devalued the lady that, again, we've even in our society today lessened the role of a wife and mother who will take the high honor of being a stay-at-home mom. We've devalued that as being something that is so valuable. And we've almost said that it's not worth the sacrifice. And make no bones about it today. We live in a world that has gone so crazy and the dollar has become so devalued that it almost takes two incomes to make ends meet. But we have lessened the importance of a stay-at-home mom. And we realize we think it's okay not to give our kids everything that our parents gave us. And we're not talking about things. We're talking about the things that matter. That things that other people can never take from you. The morality, the character that is built into a young person when the parents will tell them no. The character and the love that it takes to bend your child over a chair and whoop them. I carry spankings with me today. There are lines drawn in the sand, but it isn't really sand. They were drawn on me. That I won't cross the day, because I know if my mom, who loves me so much, had to stop everything she was doing and whoop me when it broke her heart, And then I knew when Dad got home, he was not as heartbroken, but he would take care of what Mom did too. You talk about a unified home. I called it double jeopardy. Amen. Amen. I remember looking at my sister and quoting the Bible, "We receive the due rewards of our deeds." Amen. And I had to look at, you know, and I looked at my brother and said, "But this brother has done nothing." Amen. Amen. And think about, man, I can tell you, you know, so many times of all the things that, and even sometimes for a young man like myself, you know, my mom was very good. She loved me enough not to just work on that end. When I became a teenager, and not too big to spank. All you teenagers think that that's so. I remember the last one I got. I was at least 6 inches taller than my father the last time he whooped me. And he didn't have to fight me to do it. And it didn't hurt, honestly. It didn't hurt me, but it broke my heart that he had to. I thought, my dad is treating me like a child because I've acted like one. Folks, those days seemingly have passed us by, but that's what our children of today need desperately. And sometimes when I was young, this mouth would say the wrong thing, and man, it gets soap. If you've never blown bubbles, then you missed it, friend. And man, maybe that's why you talk the way you do. Because your mommy didn't take care of that when you was young. Amen. And when I got older, she didn't make me blow bubbles. She would smack that thing if it said the wrong thing. She said, "Your mama would smack you?" "Oh, yes, sir." And that cleared it up quick. She started out when I was a young teenager giving me the front side. She didn't have to do the back side but once. Amen. You say, "Oh, you got abused." No, I had a mother that loved me. I had a mother that cared about how it turned out. She invested in me. In John chapter 2, I want you to see the master and his mother. Our Lord Jesus had a mother that was a chosen vessel of the Lord to bring him into the world. Joseph was not his father. His father was God. The Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary, and the Lord Jesus was formed in the womb of a virgin. A miraculous miracle that happened and brought him into the world. Make no mistake about it. We believe the Bible word for word the way it is written. Mary is not the Savior. Mary is not to be prayed to. But Mary is a person that should be honored. She was a mother of honor. She may not have understood everything because she did go to the synagogue and some of the highest and best known Pharisees and priests missed who Jesus was. But Mary knew who he was. She knew he was the Messiah. But no doubt she had questions, just like the disciples did, of when he would set up his kingdom. She probably had questions about why he had to suffer and die. Do you know we live in a day and age of questions? God doesn't always reveal why he does certain things, but God is sovereign upon the throne, and we need to realize that God's will is always best. We will always have questions until we see him face to face, but until then, we need to trust him that his will is best. It's hard to do that sometimes when tragedy strikes. It's hard to see his hand in what he's doing and why he's done things. But God gives and God takes away, and God is sovereign and knows all. And even though we don't think it's best and it may not what we want at this time in our lives, God rules in the affairs of men. And if you can trust him with your eternal destiny, then you should be able to trust him with every other area of your life and realize that God knows. Sometimes we could never have the answer. We'll never really know. We just have to just allow God to be God and to be at peace with that. We come to a place in John chapter 2 where Jesus arrives at a wedding feast. No doubt He has already wowed his mother in so many ways. We know when we come to this point that God, that Mary knows that Jesus can do miracles. Maybe he's done it in their home. We don't know if Joseph is alive at this point, but we do not see him in the scripture. And so we don't know. Maybe there was times that they were hungry and Jesus took care of things as the eldest in the home and had to take care of. We don't know. But listen, when she had a problem and they were running short, listen, this is going to be the very first miracle that he performs, recorded in scripture. He's going to come there and he's going to do, number one, if you're taking notes today, he's going to do a miracle for mom. Now it's before his time, and I want to read the scripture with you in chapter number 2 and verse number 1. And the third day there was a marriage in Canaan of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus called his disciples to the marriage, and when Jesus and his disciples were called to the marriage, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, "They have no wine." Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee?" Now you may think that was a derogatory statement, but this is his mom, all right? I like the term. He's kind of giving her, he gives this connotation here, like, what do you want me to do about it? You ever had that? You know, when mom says take out the trash? You know? I had a brother. How come mom always taking the trash out, right? His brother in there, the disciples there. There's no wine, send them to the store. Right? You ever been like that? No, Jesus isn't saying that. He's beginning his earthly ministry. He's called his disciples unto himself, and it's not time for him to allow people to see signs of his messiahship, of miracles. He's not ready to do that yet. And he tells her that in the next few verses. Look, some other said unto him, the servants said unto the servants, look at Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." His mother saith unto the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." Now we won't read all the rest of the story here, but most of you know that Jesus takes and fills water pots. They dump it in. He doesn't go over like the Catholic Church does and says hocus pocus over it or anything like that. Jesus just says, pour it in there. Now bear it out and serve it. Yeah, amen. They do exactly what Jesus says. And by faith, when they pour it out, the governor of the feast, those that were there, they say to the bridegroom, look, most people give out the best stuff first and they keep the worst stuff till last. And if you've ever drunk grape juice, because that's exactly what this is, for everybody in the building, just to dispel all rumors, and for everybody that's listening on radio and those of you that would watch on the internet, Jesus didn't change this into alcoholic wine. This is not a drunkard feast. This is just changing when the word wine, if it was going to turn in the cup, Jesus wouldn't have had anything to do with it. He knew the Old Testament law, and he's God incarnate. He would not and could not have broken his own law and still saved a sinner from their sins. Amen and amen. That's good preaching, preacher. For every one of you that think that you can take a little sip and you'll be fine, that's not what the Bible says. If you believe that Jesus changed water into alcoholic wine, listen, I'm just telling you, you couldn't be trusting in him to go to heaven. Amen and amen. You say, how much do you believe it? I believe it. That's how much I believe it, that Jesus didn't change water into alcoholic wine. I realize this passage right here. Every liberal, no good, lace-pantied preacher that would tell you that drinking alcohol is okay and use this passage of Scripture to preach to you that you can drink alcohol is not only a liar, but they should follow that up with telling you that if this was alcoholic wine, you're going to bust hell wide open if you're trusting in Jesus. Now, you didn't expect that on Mother's Day, did you? But I'm just telling you, this is not alcoholic wine. Just like in the South, we drink sweet tea, the drink of their day and not alcoholic wine was fresh pressed grape juice. That is truly called wine. Even though in our day and age, everybody that calls it wine makes it with stuff that turns in the cup and can get you drunk. And we separate in our age grape juice and wine. Back then, wine, okay, was grape juice. Amen and amen. That didn't even cost you anything extra. Amen. I just want you to know, why is it? Because we have, why do you want to take a break and say that, preacher? Because we have an epidemic of Christians that think that they can live however they want to in this age and do whatever they want and bring shame upon God's name and His word. If you're going to go do that, don't you dare say and try to justify your own sin that Jesus changed water into alcoholic wine. Don't you put that on my Savior. You just go on and say, I want to sin. I just want to live like the world. I just want something other than the Holy Spirit dwelling in me. I want the spirits that they sell down at the alcoholic liquor store. Amen and amen. You said you're going to lose people preaching like that. Folks, I'm just telling you, my job is to tell you the truth. Not to cut it down, water it down, or tell you like you want to hear it. Because one day I'm going to stand before Jesus Christ and give an account for what I preach. And I love you. And I love you enough to tell you the truth. Now I know you can go down and you can get a teacher that you can heap to yourselves that'll tell you what you want to hear. But here, you're going to get it straight. Right from the Word of God. I see a miracle for his mother. He tells her, he says, woman, what have I to do with thee? It's not my time yet. But still, Preston himself, this is mom. Yeah, amen. Even though it wasn't timely, it wasn't against the will of God and Jesus for his mother's sake. Do you realize this really wasn't even for his mom? This is for probably some of their family, some of their kin that would have been dishonored and mom was taking care of the back. You know how it is. It isn't your kids, but it's your sister's kids. And it was one of those weddings. Jesus and his disciples, because of the area that they all were raised in, were called to this marriage. And Jesus, not wanting to shame his family, and at the request of his mother, does his very first miracle for mom. Number two, I want you to see this. I want you to turn the passage of Scripture with me and go, if you would, to Matthew chapter number 12. We're going to use our Bible a little bit today. Just want to show you some things about Jesus and his mother's relationship. Now, where we're headed may seem odd to you this morning, but Jesus, when he gets, he's just beginning his earthly ministry, and now he begins to preach and do miracles across all of really Jerusalem, Judea, and he's even in Samaria at times. And as he travels, he's preaching, and don't forget what he begins this chapter with, all right? I'm trying to tell you that because every one of us, even our Lord Jesus, he was just like you or me, except for he was God. He cried. He got tired. He got weary. He lost his patience with people. If you don't believe it, read the beginning of the chapter. He looks at the Pharisees and says, "Oh, generation of vipers," and calls them just who they are. I remember a story about a preacher just like that. Said, you know, lady met him at the back door and said, I wish you would be a little bit sweeter. Instead of preaching like you do, couldn't you just preach a little sweeter? And why don't you preach more like Jesus? He said, ma'am, if you come back tonight, I'll preach just like Jesus. And he got up and said, oh, generation of vipers. You know, we miss the fact that Jesus preached more on hell than he did heaven. We miss the fact that Jesus was trying to warn people from the place that they were headed because he was making a way where there was no way to go to heaven because all of the world was lost in their sins. All of the world was doomed for a place called hell if it wasn't for Jesus who came and paid for our sin debt and made a way to heaven where there was no way. We often talk about building character and pulling ourselves up by our own bootstraps. Nobody. There's only been one man that ever laid his life down and took it up again, and his name is Jesus Christ. And all men that want to go to heaven, all ladies, all mothers, every person, even Mary, have to trust in the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ. Here I see, number two, a message for mom. In chapter 12, in verse 46, we said, while he was yet talking, Jesus is preaching. He's been mad at the beginning of the chapter with the Pharisees, and he's given them all this. And he gets to the end. He's just given a parable. And now he says, while he yet talked to the people, behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak with thee. But he answered and said unto them that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples and said, behold, my mother and my brethren, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, while he says, which is in heaven, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. You see, his mother showed up and she wanted to have a instant plug in. But Jesus was in a period of time where he was calling out the church unto himself. He was telling people that he was going to go to the cross. He was going to lay down his life and take it up again. And he was making a new family. If you were to go to the book of John, by this time he's preached, you must be born again into the family of God. Jesus was born into the earthly family of the Jew, just as God predicted throughout the Old Testament. But he began to preach a message to repent and join a brand new family, the church, the one that he called out, being born again into God's family. And he preached that message to his mother too. He says, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? See, sometimes we miss it, but listen, inside this building today, you may not have your children here with you this morning. They may not share the same beliefs with you, but the blessing, and I saw it over at the fellowship, there are people that we adopt into the family of God once they get saved, and we can identify with them, and we love them like our own children. I was in this morning early as I spoke with my wife. We were blessed to have all our children under our roof this morning. And I said, wouldn't it be a great time one of these days in the future to have all of those young people in our youth group back and have like a gathering of all those kids that we adopted. And then I went on to talk about the college and the young people that, I mean, just we've really been mother and father and really invested our lives in just to have what. And I thought, man, that's what heaven's going to be like one day. Man, one day we're going to be with all the folks that have accepted Jesus Christ, and we're going to know as we're known, and we're going to know all the people that we've affected and be able to spend eternity with them. You see, he gives a message to mom that it's not your earthly blood relationship. See, the Jews weren't just saved because they were Jews. Folks, Christians, you can call it your name. You could be named Christian, but it don't make you one. You got to be born into the family of God. You've got to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. He goes on, and in John chapter 19, he gives a minister to his mother. We won't turn there, but that's the third point. He gives a minister to his mother from the cross, and we read the account last week. Jesus from the cross looks down and sees his mother and her sister and Mary Magdalene all standing there, three Marys standing beside the cross. And he looks at John, the apostle, the one whom Jesus loves, and says, "But he says, behold, son, thy mother." And he says to his mother, behold thy son. He makes a provision as the oldest child on the cross, hanging between heaven and earth, while he's trying to save all of the human race and lay down his life. He stops in the midst of all of it and says, I got to take care of mom. She's so important to me. Folks, I don't know if that makes the hair on your arm stand up, but it shows the importance of the Lord Jesus and his mother together in their relationship. He takes the one that he's going to give the book of Revelation to and shows up when he's, and all the sacrifice, he looks at John and says, listen, I can trust him with my mother. You want to talk about, listen, you can call out Peter, you can call out all of the disciples, but I'm telling you, if you want to know the one that had the audacity to call himself The disciple whom Jesus loved had a right to, because when Jesus was looking for somebody, he, listen, you say, he would have chose Peter if Peter had gone to the cross. But he stood afar off. You know, sometimes it's just giving God the opportunity to choose you. Sometimes, you know, God would do great things with almost any of us if we just show up. You say, why did God in the form of the Son hanging between heaven and earth choose John? Because he was the only one there. The disciple whom Jesus loved called himself that because he loved Jesus. And he showed it by his presence at the cross. There will be crossroads of your life. There will be times when you have every excuse to be absent, but you show up because of your love for Jesus Christ. We talk about motherhood. You know, there's a lot of mothers in this room today, and you know there are times that you don't feel like showing up for your kids. It's often been said, who shows up and takes care of mom when she's sick? We think about those things because mom takes care of everybody else. And I'm telling you, one of the greatest things, and I think, look, I look across the auditorium, some of you showed up for mom today. Do you know, when we think about this, I think about the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we have a brand new family we've been born into. You know, we not just need to show up for our earthly family. There's some people in our spiritual family that we need to realize that Jesus made this transition and we need to show up for each other. Say, why do I come to church? I'll be all right. Well, maybe you come and maybe you're the person that somebody else needs to encourage them and you show up for them. Sometimes when everybody in the building knows that you are going through it, that you are at the lowest point of your life, and they've been praying for you, when you show up, you don't realize how much encouragement you give them, because they know you got every excuse not to be here. They know that you are troubled, broken, and barely hanging on, but you showed up for the Lord. You know, you can change people's lives by just showing up, just being faithful. Only heaven will tell what just showing up did for us. I want to finish with this. Jesus, turn to Acts chapter 1 with me, and I'll finish with this. Jesus talked to his mom. He gave her a membership and a ministry for his mom. Do you know every one of us need purpose? See, Jesus was leaving. He had died, rose again. And this is one of the things we miss. He didn't just entrust John with his mom for just the time of the 3 days of death, burial, and resurrection. 40 days, he showed up here, there, and everywhere, presenting himself alive to the world, but then ascended into heaven. His mom watched him go with all the other believers out there on the Mount of Olives and watched him ascend into heaven. But you know, she went back and stayed with the church because now she had been born into a brand new family. Now she had membership in a different group, being born again into a different family, and she stayed with them. I want you to see it in Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 7. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times. Jesus speaking, he's standing on the Mount of Olives. He says, the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had thus spoken, he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which said unto them, ye men of Galilee, why ye stand gazing into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into the upper room where they had abode with Peter, James, John, Andrew, Philip, Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon, Zealots, and Judas, the brother of James. These all continued with one accord and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brethren. The Lord gives us an account in the book of Acts of all the people that were there. Now, there were some special things, and even Luke, under the inspiration of God, records all the people that were there, and the Holy Spirit of God says, write the women, but go on and write Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there as well. You see, Mary was just like you or me. She knew there was something different about Jesus because she was there when he was born. Now, we weren't there, but I've read the story. See, we began today talking about, but this is my story. You know, I don't know about you folks, but my whole life is tied up in the story of Jesus Christ. I believe that he's the virgin-born Son of God. My whole life's tied up in that. And not only is he the virgin-born Son of God, and I believe that Mary was a very good woman, but I know this, that she showed up at the end. And you know what she did? Just like every other member of the church, she had no more power than any of the rest of them. And she waited for the power of God, the Holy Spirit of God, to come down and indwell. She followed her son's instruction to wait and to be a witness. This morning, as I prepared, I thought, I wonder what it would have been like. Now, I can read Peter's preaching and his testimony. I can read Philip, and I mean, you know, we can read Stephen's preaching and all the different preachers of the New Testament. Can you imagine what it would have been like to hear of witness of Jesus Christ from his mother? She wouldn't have started at the cross. She would have started with, well, I was in a room one night and an angel showed up. And he told me that I was going to be the mother of the Savior. She'd go through, he was a great little boy. He was so good. A mother couldn't ask for any more. And then when I needed things, he showed up and I could tell he was God. He did things no other little boy could do. I remember a time when I really needed him at a wedding at Canaan. I asked him to take and make some wine because we were out of it. And he took water and turned it into wine. I remember going to look for my son one day because I heard he was preaching about how he would have to lay his life down and raise it up again. And I had questions that I needed answered. But he gave me a message that I needed to be part of a brand new family. That the Jew and the Gentile could be saved if we just trusted in him and what he would do. And I can imagine her telling, I got saved. I trusted in Jesus Christ. I watched him die on Calvary. I watched him lift his head and say, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I listened to him say that his job on earth was finished. And he released his spirit. I watched as the world went dark for a moment. I heard the turmoil in the temple as the veil was rent in two. Can you imagine that? Hearing the witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, his mother Mary. And she said, I heard a testimony of those that ran to the temple. I heard a testimony of those that ran to the tomb and said, he's not there anymore. He's risen just like he said he was. We saw angels. Can you imagine somebody telling you a story? This thing began with angels and ended with angels. And then she said, wait a second, I'm not done with the angels. I watched him ascend into heaven. And two men stood, two angels from heaven, told us, what are you doing gazing into heaven? And all of that would have been perpetrated. You know what? How she got started, how she got to be a witness? She was probably standing on the edge of town looking in the sky. And they said, what are you looking for? She said, I'm looking for my son. He's coming back for me. He promised he went away, but he'd come in like manner to receive me into himself. Folks, you know what the church still does today? We still look for the Son of God to come. What a great picture of our Master and his mother and through the Scripture. But listen, the greatest thing you can take from that today is Mary came to Jesus just the way you need to. She trusted in his finished work of Calvary, his death, burial, and resurrection. And even more than that, Mary could go all the way back and realize that he had a miracle birth, that he was not like any other man. He was born of a virgin. He was God's only son that died on a cross and rose again to pay for your sin and for my sin. Today we celebrate mothers, and Mary is a great one. But the person that every mother, every child, every father in the building that they need to receive Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life. Because no man comes into the Father but by him. Today, if you're in the building and you don't know Christ as your Savior, whether you're a mother, whether you're a father or a child, listen, the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ, being born again into the family of God, just like Mary was. And today, my greatest desire, after standing and preaching to you, preaching my heart, I love my mother today. And the greatest thing today, the greatest comfort that I feel, is that I know I'm going to spend eternity with her. This life is not all there is. When she's gone, I'll see her again. My great-grandmother, my grandmother who I loved and hugged me and took care of me, made me biscuits and did all the things. My hope is not in this life and what time I spent with them. I will see them again because of what Jesus did. Because they were born again into the family of God. Today, I hope your hope is in Jesus. I hope you're trusting in him because you have no hope outside of him. With heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, if you're here and you do not know Christ as your Savior, would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, I've never trusted in Christ. Pray for me. I need to be saved. I do not know heaven is my home." Would you slip your hand up? Is there one anyway that say, "Preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. I've never trusted in Christ as my Savior." Is there one anywhere that would slip that up and say, "Pray for me, preacher. I'm not sure I'm saved." Maybe you're here today and you'd say, "Preacher, pray for me. Something you spoke about today really just hit home. Maybe it was about mothers. Maybe it was about loving our mother. Maybe it was about trusting in Christ." Would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, pray for me. Something you spoke about today touched my heart." I see those hands. I'm going to pray for you here. Let's stand to our feet as I pray. If God spoke to your heart, why don't you step out and come? Dear God, as we enter into the invitation, I pray, even if a person didn't raise their hand for salvation, if there's one that's here that doesn't know Christ, help them to come forward and receive him today as Savior. God, thank you for our mothers, Lord, across the building. I know there are needs, there are burdens and reasons for folks to come to the altar. I pray that you would meet them with peace and give them everything that they need to settle their heart, their spirit, whatever it is they're coming for today to the altar, that you'd help them with that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
today, if you're here and you don't know Christ as your Savior, maybe you didn't raise your hand for prayer, but this invitation is for you. If you're not sure that heaven will be your home because of a Bible reason, why don't you let us take the Bible and show you how you can know for sure that heaven will be your home because of what Jesus did on Calvary for you. Brother Bert's going to sing. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, step out. Meet me in the front. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure.
Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and
folks at the altar. Continue to pray if you would. This morning, if you're here and you've been attending our church and you really like this church and you identify with everything that we are, maybe you need to join this church. You know, you can do that if you've been baptized, but maybe you've been saved but never baptized. You know, everything is prepared. What a great day on Mother's Day to join the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, through baptism, picturing his death, burial, and resurrection. That's the first step of obedience to God. If you've never been baptized, scripturally baptized, never joined the church, why don't you come and let us take care of that this morning if God's speaking to your heart about it. While the piano plays and Brother Bert sings, come and meet with us this morning. Come down to the aisle and let us talk to you about baptism.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God.
Got something to share with you this morning. We're